Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command to you, so that you will love one another." This is the very word of God, given by inspiration of his Holy Spirit. Even so, let us pray for his blessing on our meditation. O Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Your fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, beloved of the Lord and friends of Christ. What do you suppose the closest bond of love is? Can you think of one? Well, maybe we would think about the bond of love that a husband and a wife experience. Certainly that is intended to be on earth one of the closest. And yet, that love is less than perfect, isn't it? Husbands, how have we done in dealing with our wives, as Peter writes, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs of the grace of life? Though we love them, do we dwell with them with understanding? So often we get frustrated and short with our wives, and maybe even annoyed at them because something that seems so simple to us, they have trouble grasping, or whatever the situation may be. Though we love them, that bond of love is tainted by selfish sinfulness. And wives, while you love your husbands, that love may wane at times. Have you, as Paul writes, willingly and lovingly submitted to your husbands, even as you do to the Lord? Maybe you want to, but he makes it difficult sometimes, doesn't he? Those times when you just want someone to talk to, he doesn't want to listen. He may even seem childish at times, and so it makes it hard for you to give him the respect that the Lord wants you to give him. Again, though the bond of love is very close in marriage, sin has affected it. Well, on this Mother's Day, we might think of the bond of love expressed between mother and child. Certainly, a mother loves her child. It's a close bond, but that bond has likewise been affected by sin as well. Parents discipline their children because they love them and want them to teach them right from wrong, but how many times haven't we disciplined our children in anger instead of love? Or children, how do you show love for your parents? By honor, serving, and obeying them, treating every day like it's Mother's Day and Father's Day, not just on a particular Sunday in May or in June. Not even the bond of love between parents and child is perfect. So where are we going to look for a perfect example of love? Well, we look to God the Father and God the Son, first of all. And there we find perfect love. Are there even words in the English language that can properly explain that bond that exists between God the Father and God the Son? That perfect love is more than just a word or an emotion. It's an action. It does something. At the end of verse 10 in our text, Jesus says, "I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." To Jesus, loving the Father meant doing what the Father said. And can we imagine it being any other way? Can we imagine Jesus saying, I love you, Father, but I'm not going to do what you say. I love you, Father. I know you want me to go to the cross, but I don't really want to do that today. We can't imagine it any other way. Love and obedience are inseparable when we consider God the Father and God the Son. Jesus' love for the Father is seen in what he did. When it was the Father's will that the Son come to earth, be born and laid in a manger, have a humble upbringing, what did the Son do? Yea, Father, yea, most willingly, the hymn writer says. Jesus willingly and gladly obeyed the Father and was born of the Virgin Mary. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? Consider the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, the night before his death, is exceedingly sorrow, Scripture says, to the point of death. He's so sad, he's about to collapse in death because of the sorrow and the weight of sin. So he goes to the Father in prayer and prays that if it's possible, remove this cup of suffering from me. But how does he end that prayer? In love, he adds, not my will, but your will be done. Again, love and obedience are inseparable for Jesus. Loving the Father meant doing what the Father said. Jesus found out the answer to his question very shortly after as the betrayer came and he was arrested. That was the Father's answer. It was the Father's will that Jesus go to the cross. And Jesus loved the Father and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So again, when we look at Jesus, we see that love and obedience go hand in hand. But we could say the same about the relationship of the Father to his Son, couldn't we? Jesus, in the first verse of our text, says, the Father loved me. And we know this is true. At his baptism and at his transfiguration, God said of Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We see love and obedience there also. Though Jesus in his humility never demanded anything of the Father always heard his prayers and acted accordingly. The night before he died, Jesus prayed that the Father would glorify him. Did the Father answer that prayer? Most definitely. What happened on the third day after he was crucified? Jesus rose from the dead. He was glorified. And then this Thursday, we consider Ascension, where Jesus ascended to the right hand of God the Father Almighty in heaven. So we see, when we look at God the Father and God the Son, that love and obedience are inseparable. But consider what else Jesus says in our text. Knowing that perfect love that existed between God the Father and God the Son, what does Jesus say about us? He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Imagine that. The amazing, perfect love that God the Father has for his Son, Jesus says, is the same love that I have for every one of you. But what could Jesus do to prove how much he loved us? Well, again, we return to our text. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. What greater way could Jesus show us that he loved us? He doesn't just talk about it. He doesn't just say, I feel good about you. He does something in his love for us. He lays down his life. This is the great love which Jesus had for us by dying to rescue our souls from the flames of hell because of our sin. He loved us so much, he was willing to give up his life that we would have life. There's no greater example of love in action than this. Consider also how amazing it is that Jesus calls us his friend. That word friend is very dear to us, isn't it? We have many people in our close circles that we call friends. We know a lot of people, but only the select few are we willing to call friend. It is quite remarkable that Jesus would call us his friends. We who have not always been friend-worthy to Jesus. We who have taken his love and his sacrifice for granted. He has made us his friends and revealed to us the will of God. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. A servant blindly follows his master's word. Master says, do something, the servant does it. He just obeys, because he has to. Not so with us in Jesus. Through the word of Holy Scripture, Jesus has revealed to us the will of the Father. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. It brought Jesus great joy to know the Father's will and to do the Father's will. Even so, Jesus has revealed to us the Father's will, that we might share in that joy. Jesus continues to expand on his love and personal interest for us, his friends. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. The choice to be a believer, a follower, a friend of Jesus was not our own. Rather, Jesus says, I chose you. Can you see the love of Jesus there? That he would choose you to be his friend, you to be his child. The Son of God calls us his friends, made us his friends. He chose us to be fruitful followers of him. Followers, Jesus say, who can pray to the Father in his name and know that because the Father loves the Father will hear us and give us only those things which he knows will be good for us. Jesus' love for us is just as grand and glorious as the love the Father has for him. Then we come to ourselves, our love. How is our love for the Son? And what does that love look like? Well, today you can probably go to any number of churches with a cross on them in our town. You can hear the message. You can hear about how they speak of loving God and loving Jesus. But how do they show that love? They talk about their love for Jesus, but do they care to obey his commands, obey his word, listen to what he says? And we're not talking about weak Christians who struggle with sin and fall short of the glory of God. Nor are we talking about weak Christians who don't understand or are confused about our particular word of God. We're talking about those who know the word of God and the will of Jesus and yet ignore it. And furthermore, they tell others to ignore what the Bible says too. Can that be love for Jesus? Well, listen to the words of Jesus himself. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus says love and obedience are inseparable. How can we say we love Jesus and then ignore what he says or disobey what he says? It is true sometimes children listen to their parents because they're afraid of punishment that they might receive. Obedience can flow from discipline and fear, but as parents, we'd much rather have our children listen to us and obey us because they love us. Love and obedience do go hand in hand. Jesus chose us to be his own. The Holy Spirit has worked a living and active faith in our hearts. Faith which is seen in love. Love which wants to obey God and obey Jesus. Faith which loves to run the way of God's commandments, as the psalmist says. Faith which longs to know what Jesus wants us to do. As Jesus says, he appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. Love and obedience are inseparable. When we keep his commandments, we are abiding in his love. And this is my commandment, Jesus says, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love our fellow Christian, Jesus says, as I loved you. And what did the love of Jesus cause him to do? He was willing to go so far as to lay down his life to save us. Love your believer, your fellow believer, in such a way that you would be willing to lay down your life for your Christian brother and sister. Well, that's easier said than done, right? After all, when Jesus said these words, he hasn't met those picky Christians that we rub shoulders with from time to time, that rub us the wrong way. Those Christians that are short and unfriendly with us. Sometimes it's hard to love our fellow believers, isn't it? But what's our problem when we think that way? When we think that, no, they're unlovable. It's hard to love them. We're focusing on their sins and their shortcomings. What would Jesus have us focus on instead? Love them as I have loved you. Focus on Jesus and his love for us. Do you think that you were always lovable to Jesus? Do you think you were always friend-worthy to Jesus? And yet he loves us still, in spite of ourselves. And so Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. So we see, the closest bond of love we can ever look to as an example is that of God the Father and God the Son. And furthermore, that love is expanded when we look at the love of God the Son toward us in willing to die, being willing to die for us. And then Jesus says, have that same love for your fellow believers, for your brothers and sisters in Christ, who are sinners, yes, just like we are, and yet the same blood was shed for the forgiveness of their sins, even as it was shed for the forgiveness of your sins. May God the Holy Spirit ever help us, that we may willingly and joyfully obey the will of our Savior, even as he willingly and joyfully obeyed the will of his Father. May God the Holy Spirit increase our faith, that we may love one another as Jesus hath loved us. And may God the Holy Spirit ever help us to abide in the love of Christ. Amen.